This is the IBJ podcast for the week of September 3rd, 2018. I'm Mason King.
One of our city's well-known voices accused now of using a racial slur, and he admits he did it. And now the Colts acknowledge that Bob Lamy retired because of it.
Lilly Diabetes has pulled its sponsorship of Daly's car in the NASCAR Infinity race at Road America. According to ESPN, Connor Daly himself did not use the racial slur, but his father, racing analyst Derek Daly, recently admitted to using the N-word more than 30 years ago.
I'm sorry for what happened 3.5 decades ago. I know when I used the N-word, it was wrong.
Indianapolis sports fans just had a front row seat to one of the most bizarre weeks in recent memory. It began on Sunday, August 19th, when the Indianapolis Colts abruptly announced the retirement of radio play-by-play announcer Bob Lamy. 2 days later, we learned that Lamy had recently used the N-word, and we mean the racial slur, when telling a story from his days covering auto racing. On Wednesday, Wish TV Channel 8 said that it had fired racing analyst Derek Daly after he confirmed that Lamy was recounting a story from decades earlier in which he, Derek Daly, had used the N-word. Then, on Friday, the dominoes dropped on race car driver Connor Daly, Derek's son. Eli Lilly and Company had agreed to sponsor Connor in a NASCAR race that weekend, but at the last minute pulled its signage from the car because it felt that his father's comments had become a distraction. Now, many in the media, including IBJ's editorial board, found Lilly's decision to be rather absurd, to hold someone accountable for a parent's comment made even before being born. Some have chalked it up to political correctness run wild, which was a criticism levied at organizations that recently cut ties with Papa John's founder John Schnatter after he acknowledged using the N-word. Now, here at the IBJ podcast, we wondered if it wasn't more indicative of the power of social media and how skittish corporate sponsors have become about the potential for being linked to sordid comments or actions and suffering a social media backlash. So, we talked with two local experts in marketing and corporate sponsorships about Lilly's reaction, the influence of social media, how the corporate sponsorship landscape is changing, and Channel 8's firing of Derek Daly. And they definitely had different approaches to looking at these issues. The first interview is with Bruce Bryant. He's president of Promotus Advertising. He also was black, which ends up being germane to that discussion. Here's Bruce. What was your reaction when you heard what had happened?
Well, actually, my reaction was not very much at all because, again, it's old and I didn't have much of a reaction at all. I didn't hold that statement against Derek or his son at this particular point in time. It's water under the bridge.
Specifically, the reaction to Lilly's decision to pull back, at least pull back the signage on that car.
It doesn't make sense to me in terms of the sponsorship being pulled. Not really. Again, I think that they overreacted. But in light of the current situations that we find ourselves with social media, how issues are judged, I do understand Lilly's point of view. It's not worth the risk of backlash. Unfortunately, that's the world that we live in.
That kind of leads me to the main question of, is this decision by Lilly somehow indicative of how much more sensitive sponsors have become to being connected in some way to, it could be a scandal, it could be insensitive comments, it could be violence, it could be sexual impropriety. I mean, is that something that we're seeing now, them getting a lot more sensitive to that sort of thing?
Yes, absolutely. The climate in which social media exists today is very risky. Lilly probably decided that a sponsorship of a car was not that important to their overall goals and marketing strategy. So the risk certainly outweighs the benefits at this particular point in time. So I can understand them pulling back from that point of view. My concern and my discord about the whole situation is that we have trained an audience, we've trained a generation that they have the power to judge indiscriminately on social media. That is disturbing because it unfairly targets, it unfairly comes to a conclusion of guilt, and unfairly awards punitive damages. And I think we, business and media, has basically trained this particular audience that that is their right and power to do so. When the first sponsor canceled contracts with either celebrities or companies because of a social issue, that unlocked the door to Pandora's box. Now we are all judged and under discretion to the ethereal they. And I've used the term social media is sort of like a nuclear reactor. If it's used properly, it can power and leverage some tremendous, you know, social equity and value. Make one mistake, you have an explosion. So it's really a very risky proposition these days.
Yeah. So as somebody in the business or a part of your business is helping set up these kinds of relationships, how much more difficult does that make your job?
Very difficult. You know, again, when you look at sponsorships, you try to get involved with something that you think you can leverage the halo effect of being associated with a person, a race team, sports team, and or cause. Do it the wrong way, it turns against you. And now you've alienated a whole group of people that are very passionate about the cause, the organization, whatever, and they turn on you. And passionate people are usually the ones who take the time to bad mouth organizations, companies, and or people on social media. So when you're really thinking through these kinds of opportunities, you really must weigh what's the value versus the potential risk. Generally, we avoid any type of social media exposure, and we've limited sponsorships pretty drastically in the last few years, simply because it's just the costs have escalated, the risk has escalated. So it really pushes it toward the outer boundaries.
When you say sponsorship specifically, you mean sponsorships of athletes, sponsorships of
events,
companies,
causes, organizations.
So you've been counseling companies to pull back from sponsorship?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Again, the cost has escalated and the risk has escalated. Yeah. You never know what might happen. You know, and Papa John's is a great example. You know, there's buildings that don that moniker. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of cost to pull back. So when you look at the ROI of those types of vehicles, those types of tools in marketing, you know, you really want to evaluate the risk versus the reward.
Right, you know, tying your company, your brand, to another person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking when I was considering this was, I mean, is it really possible to vet somebody for the kinds of things that can happen?
Well, it's almost impossible to vet.
Yeah.
Obviously, you do your due diligence. But most of the hot items are dynamic. You know, in this particular case, it was decades ago. But generally, the kinds of issues that really blow up are dynamic. They are real-time happening. And, you know, again, that may be the value of social media, and that could be the curse of social media. So it's really hard to vet it to the point of eliminating a lot of the risk. You know, it brings to my mind the Pepsi association with...
So Kendall Jenner?
Yes.
Yeah.
You would think that it would be safe to say that we're on the side of people having the freedom to speak their voice, to protest, to march for equal rights, equal pay. Who would have guessed that somebody would say, yes, but it's not ingenuous, and therefore it makes you a villain? And so, you know, again, you're sitting at the strategic table. Certain things make sense at that point, but who knows the mind of some individual and how they view things. And the thing about it is that there's probably equal numbers of individuals that share that perspective as well as don't. The thing about it is the ones that don't keep silent. The ones that do,
that's right.
Yeah.
Or nobody wants to be on the receiving end of somebody's Twitter campaign.
Well, again, when you get to the point of where Twitter, Facebook, Instagram is on fire saying, I would not do business with that company or that brand because of some, it may be even exaggerated, social malice or malfeasance, you don't want to be on the receiving end of that.
Now, if you do find that, like, maybe an athlete, we'll just use sports as an example, that there is something sordid in their past, is that just an automatic hard no, or is there a statute of limitations on some stuff?
No, that's a hard no. Mm-hmm. No statute. Yeah. As you can see with the Daily thing, there's no statute.
Right.
Four decades, you would think. No, there's no statute.
Yeah, so I would assume the N-word, no go.
It's a no-go.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting because I was watching LeBron James has a show on called The Barbershop, and he has celebrities discussing these issues. You know, and one of the artists, Snoop Dogg, was actually explaining that there is a reasonable context for the N-word, how he grew up and in the hip-hop world. But for corporations, it's a no-go. There's no explanation that is valid from a corporate level, a brand level. So, again, when you look at, and, you know, we've done a lot of sponsorships for, for concerts and performers. If a band is risky, if the lead singer, if one of the members, has a reputation of risky behavior. Today, that would just be a flat-out no-go. Hmm.
One of the interesting bits of initial blowback on the Derek Daly thing that was interesting, the conversations that I was hearing, people saying, well, but, boy, if you listen to rap music, or the rap music that I heard over on the corner the other day, I hear the N-word all the time.
Absolutely.
So that seems like a double standard to me.
Well, again, that's the reference to the LeBron James show, Barbershop. The explanation is you look at context, and I'm a firm believer of context. Being someone who creatively produces ads, creatively produces content for social media, context is real big. But when you have backlash, you don't get a chance to explain the context. Backlash is, as I use the analogy, a nuclear explosion. When it lights, it goes, and it goes big, and it goes fast. So the point is, there is context, and as long as there's no malice, as long as there's no disrespect, there's no message of inferiority or superiority involved, then it's not a bad issue. So in the lyrics of a rap song, the context is based on the story of that song. Derek Daly explained the context as it being a common slang word in Ireland. I buy that. Context is very important. Again, social media has no regulatory standards. You don't get a chance. You don't get a fair trial. If it blows, it blows. And there are real world consequences for something that happens in the ethereal world of the cloud.
So taking that into consideration, would you say that Channel 8 made the right decision in firing Derek Daly?
I would say if I had to make that call, I would say yes. Personally, I dislike the call because it simply gives credit and credence to the ethereal, they, judgmental process. When social media sees that we cry, they react, we continue to cry for the action that we want. And I think we've put ourselves in a bad position socially to let that grow and fester and become as strong as it has become today. I think the Me Too movement has gone so far that it's detrimental to society now. Starts with a good intention. That's why I use the nuclear reactor as an example. When it explodes, it's uncontainable. And it's unfortunate, but it's the world we live in. We don't live in a fair world. We live in a pretty risky and dangerous world today.
Thank you. Again, that was Bruce Bryant, president of Promotus Advertising. Next, I spoke with Ken Unger, president of the sports marketing firm Charge. For the record, he is white. Here's Ken. So Lilly was pretty roundly criticized, I think, in the media for overreacting, though not by Connor Daly. And I'm just curious, first, when you heard about this, what was your first reaction?
Yeah, this is very unusual for an athlete to be penalized for the statements of a relative.
Yeah.
While we've seen this in terms of morals clauses and things of that nature involving athletes and actions or statements that they make, in my history in sports marketing, I've never seen this applied to a statement of a father being subject to the termination of a son's endorsement agreement.
Do you think that it was an overreaction, or can you understand kind of what Lilly was trying to get at there?
You can see both sides, but Lilly is signing up to market its product, and so it's using a racing sponsorship to do that. So in their view, if there's any negative publicity that comes from whatever activity involved in that, they didn't necessarily sign up for that. Mm. However, from Connor's point of view, he did nothing wrong. He was born many, many years after the statement was made by his father. And so I do believe that Lilly overreacted to that. In fact, if you balance the equities of it, by doing what Lilly did, they've actually brought more attention to this, more negative attention to this for themselves than had they simply said, this was his father. His father apologized. It has nothing to do with Connor. We're going racing on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you had been advising them, is that the direction that
That's exactly what I would have advised them to do.
In a wider scope, though, is this decision, is it indicative of how much more sensitive sponsors are today to being connected to any kind of potential scandal or insensitive comments or sexual violence or sexual impropriety?
I think there's a couple things going on. So one, going back to Tiger Woods, he really started a new era in skittishness of sponsors regarding the behavior of athletes. So before then, there were morals clauses and there were terminations based on bad behavior by athletes and celebrities, by their sponsors and endorsing companies. But that really raised the stakes in terms of these companies having huge investments. Lance Armstrong, Tiger Woods, Maria Sharapova, multi-million dollar contracts, huge investments in advertising campaigns. So when the Tiger Woods events happened 8-9 years ago, that really kind of shocked the corporate world. So there was a real sensitivity after that going forward to the behavior of celebrities and athletes. Now, combine that with social media, where you have instantaneous positive or negative reinforcement about the brand and their association with an athlete or celebrity in scandal, and you have not only sensitivity, but lightning quick responses.
Is it worth it at this point? I mean, somebody who just has a sterling record, no indication of any kind of you know, sordid past, could just say the wrong thing?
That's a great question, and the way I'd respond is Air Jordan is a multi-billion dollar franchise of Nike. Was it worth them associating with Michael Jordan? So obviously that's the biggest example on the positive end, but going back to 1905, which was the first athlete endorsement, where the Louisville Slugger Company hired Honus Wagner to endorse their bats. So going back to 1905, companies have used athletes to endorse their products commercially. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Or they wouldn't have been doing it for over 100 years.
Yeah. Here's a question that just occurred to me now that you brought up Honus Wagner. Who are some athletes in the past who had great endorsement deals that would not have a chance? Would not have a chance today.
I don't know.
Would you be untouchable?
I don't know, because you know hindsight's always 20/20.
Yeah.
But certainly the standard of political correctness has kind of shifted. So I'd go back in my generation. I'd go back to Joe Namath.
Mm.
So Joe Namath was known at the time as being a bit of a playboy. And to a certain extent, that was viewed by his commercial partners as something of a positive, because it was exciting at the time in the late 60s, early 70s. But right now, that type of behavior is kind of frowned upon. Yeah. So I would say that, like, that would be an example that I would pick up as somebody.
Wow,
like that.
That's interesting. Yeah. That even just being seen as a ladies' man is potentially a negative.
Well, there are a lot of athletes with a lot of examples of a lot of different behavior that it was different at the time as it is now. So shifting cultural standards, you have to take it as it is in the time period that it happened. But I think today there is a very, very high level of scrutiny to not have any negative behavior rub off on the brand.
Have you been in a position to tell a potential corporate sponsor, this isn't worth it?
Yeah, we have participated in those discussions, and we've participated in discussions about vetting athletes. And so we have advised clients on occasion to pass on certain relationships.
Let's say that you do find something sordid in the past of an athlete. Is there a statute of limitations on some stuff?
It really depends on what it is. Mm-hmm. So typically, you look at the severity of the action. Was it a mere mistake of judgment? Was it something that crossed the line criminally or evidenced some moral turpitude? And so you look at the severity of it. Also, sponsors will look at, was there an act of contrition afterwards? So you look at an athlete like Michael Vick. Mm-hmm. So Michael Vick was convicted of his activities related to dogfighting. Was sentenced to jail, served time in jail. His sponsors left him. But there was this act of contrition afterwards. He committed to working with the ASPCA and the Humane Society of the United States in highlighting the negative outcomes associated with dogfighting and its immorality and those types of things. So he really tried to set the record straight in terms of what's right and what's wrong. So sponsors would look at that as something that, to err is human, to forgive divine. Mm. And would our audience, would our customers also forgive that person? So those are the kind of considerations that go into deciding if someone is reformable as an endorsement partner.
Did Michael Vick end up actually getting some kind of endorsements after
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so he came back. He obviously came back to the NFL. And he did attract investment by sponsors after that, but nothing that was at the level of his before the troubles began in his career and his life.
Yeah. You mentioned Tiger Woods, too. I mean, Tiger had – I can't even imagine what the figure was. I mean, at the time, 2008 or 2009, I hesitate even to describe the trouble that he had.
It's tens of millions of dollars.
Tens of millions of dollars. And then he lost some of those, and now there seems to be a new excitement about Tiger.
Yeah, it's a long road back for him. Mm-hmm. And again, sponsors look at what does the road back look like? Did he continue to act in a way that caused him to lose his sponsors in the first place? And they evaluate, what does an audience feel about Tiger Woods? All of those things together, he is coming back. Obviously, his career slowly he hasn't attained the heights that he has on the golf course before, but I expect that he'll continue to kind of find success off the course in terms of his endorsement.
You mentioned trying to determine what people think about a particular star. I mean, there are ways that you guys can determine whether or not a negative feeling about somebody is blown over.
So social media is now an awesome tool for that. It allows marketers to put their finger on the pulse of what people are thinking. Are they engaging with an athlete? What are they talking about an athlete? Is it negative sentiment? Is it positive sentiment? And so there are tools. There are services that sponsors subscribe to be able to track these things, to not only understand are people talking about a certain athlete or celebrity, but what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And is it positive? Is it negative?
In terms of statute of limitations, Derek Daly found himself at the end of the N-word, though he did explain in some detail the context in which he said it. In that case, even 35 years didn't seem to make that okay.
Yeah, you know, there is no statute of limitations in terms of these types of things. It depends on what it is. In this particular case, that is a morally reprehensible word. Mm-hmm. So it's impossible to indicate is the statute of limitations 5 years, 20 years, 30 years. It really depends what do people think today. Mm-hmm. That's any type of entity is going to look at what do audiences think today, no matter what length of time in history these comments or actions happen.
Was it the right move to fire him?
I mean, I can't say that. You know, Wish TV has to make the decisions that are best for its company and its audience. But I have to say that companies make these types of decisions every day. Sometimes they choose to stick with their employee, with their endorsement partner, and sometimes they choose not to. I can tell you that every single time they're difficult decisions, because you're trying to determine what your audience feels.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
My thanks again to Bruce Bryant and Ken Unger. You can check out the IBJ editorial board's take on Lilly's decision in this week's edition of IBJ. Also in this issue, John Russell takes a close look at Eli Lilly and Company and the property taxes that the Fortune 500 company pays to Indianapolis. Lilly has appealed its annual tax bill every year since 2012, and a recent request for more than $9 million in tax breaks on a building project has cast a rare spotlight on tensions within Mayor Hogsett's administration between accommodating one of the city's largest companies and protecting the cash-strapped city's tax base. And also on the real estate front, we have our annual list of the top residential real estate agents in the Indianapolis area. You can pick it up at the newsstand or check it out at ibj.com. Thanks again for listening to the podcast this week. I'm Mason King, and we'll be back again next week.